Go in your Bible to Matthew 28. We're going to look at the final We Believe sermon today. We Believe the Great Commission. Matthew 28, I want you to find that, and then I want you to find Genesis chapter 24. Find those two spots before we take off. Matthew 28. I hear the pages turning. Verses 18, 19, and 20, and then find Genesis 24. We want to weave these two together, and I'll show you something in the Old Testament maybe you've never seen before. I believe that Abraham's life was a foreshadow of what God was going to do in the world to rescue the world. We see this in him willing to offer up Isaac. I'm not even going to get into all this because that's a message in itself. But we will look today in about how that looking for Isaac a wife and how that really shows forth to me the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto the disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. The reason the therefore is there is because of all power. That's how we can go. That's how we can go into all the world, because all power has been given unto the Lord Jesus Christ, all power in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And now turn and go in Genesis chapter 24. And before I read there, I'm wanting to pray. Father, I ask and pray for your anointing to be upon these ones that's going to hear, and Lord, to receive this word today joyfully. And God, if there's anyone here this morning without Jesus Christ as Savior in their life, we ask and pray, Lord, that's going to be accomplished, and that's going to happen this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe the Great Commission. And in Genesis chapter 24, in verse number 2, we see Abraham. Abraham in this story is a typology or a similarity to the Heavenly Father. Also in this same verse, we see the eldest servant, a man by the name of Eleazar, which his name is never mentioned in this chapter, but that's who it is. He is likened to the Holy Spirit. And that's evident to me to know that he's never mentioned in this chapter, much like the Holy Spirit's job is not to draw attention to himself, but to draw our attention to the Son. So get those. In Abraham, we see the Father. In the servant, we see the Holy Spirit. In verse number 3, we see the Son, who would be Jesus. There's a similarity. There's a wife in verse number 3 that they're going to get. That is the church. In verse number 4, he is being sent, Eleazar is being sent into the country, which is the world. Abraham sends the eldest servant into the world to get a wife for the son, Isaac. The Heavenly Father sends the Holy Spirit into this world to gather the church for the Lord Jesus. Do you see the similarities there? They are, to me, astounding. In Genesis chapter 24, 4, you see the word, thou shalt go. In Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore. And what the Holy Spirit, through Eleazar, did thousands of years ago, the Holy Spirit is still doing that exact same work today. And that same work is searching for the bride of Christ, searching for all those that would say yes to him. Now, why did Abraham send out the eldest servant? Anybody? To get a bride for the son. Did he send out the eldest servant to sing? No. Did he send out the eldest servant to shout? No. Did he send out the eldest servant to dance about? No. He sent out the eldest servant to get the bride. It's quite possible that Eleazar sang and danced and shouted about and did all those things. But that was not the primary function on why he was sent out. It was to get a bride for Isaac. Again, he probably sang, he probably shouted, he probably danced about it. But that wasn't the primary reason and goal. The primary goal is, let's go find a wife for Isaac. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And a big commandment is this: go out into all the world and reach people for Jesus Christ. I mean, I could ask Joy Taylor, Joy, what is your main job? Her main job is to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Then I could say, Joy, what is your job? And she would say, well, I'm a church treasurer. Both of those is right. If you would ask Eleazar and the men that went with him to go and find this bride and ask any one of them, what is your main job? They would have said, we're out here to find the wife for Isaac. That's why we're here. Anybody, I could ask Curtis, Curtis, what is your main job? His main job is to win somebody to Jesus. I could say, what is your job? And he would say, well, I teach school. Let me illustrate this. Let's say we got some fine strapping young men right here in the front row here. Let's say if I was starting a fire department, I'm going to hire these guys on. Come on, you four guys, stand right up here. You got to stand where this tape is. You can't get out any further than that. And then go this way. All right. All right. I've hired them all on to be on the fire department. Man. Fires beware. Your job, you're going to wash the fire engine. Your job, you're going to, you cook?
Yep.
You're going to cook the meals. Your job, you're going to wash the uniforms. Your job, you're going to mop the floors. Now, what's your main job? Wrong. What's your main job?
Put out fires.
There you go. There you go. Now, see, if I put Wes on there, he'd have done the same thing Jeremy did. The main job on each one of them, put out the fire. But their job that they're going to do every day is, what was your job?
Wash the fire engine.
Wash the fire engine, that's right. And your job was to cook. Your job?
Wash the clothes.
Your job?
Mop the floor.
Mop the floor. Thank you all very much. Give them a hand. I could say to Jennifer Upchurch over in the Centralia branch, Jennifer, what's your job? She would say, well, my main job is that I need to win somebody to Jesus. But my job, what I do day to day, and that job is I'm the church administrator over to Centralia branch. We could do this all day long, and I know you're going to get the idea sooner or later. Whatever your job is, that's not your main job. The main job, the moment you get born again, is to win somebody to Jesus Christ. I read a book recently, and the guy in this book, he was saying, well, that really ain't the main job for the church. The main job is to equip the church. I disagree with that. I've read that. I've seen that on TV. I've seen a Bible teacher here a while back saying the main job of the church is not to win somebody to Jesus. It's to equip the church. I disagree with that. I believe that candle, the moment you light it, it bears forth the light, and it takes nothing away from it to light another candle with it. Our main job. Ask Justine Locher, what's your main job? She would say, win somebody to Jesus. What is your job? And she would say, I'm a church administrator assistant and the bookkeeper here. But the main job is to go out and find that bride. And that was the main job thousands of years ago. And it's exactly the main job today. I don't minimize anybody's job in this church. I would be stupid to do so, because every job is important. But I do maximize the main job. When I preach to a group of preachers. It's what I do every Sunday. I am not preaching to just, the laity, and I'm the preacher, and I'm the one, I'm the man of the hour. I don't do that. I preach to preachers. Everybody here has the main task and main job of winning somebody to Jesus Christ. That is the great commission of the church, and the moment I get born again, I get involved in that work. Let me show you some jobs we have here. And none of these is the main job unless they are doing that one-on-one, winning somebody to Jesus. But all of these is jobs that helps facilitate and get the main job done. There are, and I'm not even going to I can't name every one of these. I just don't have time. So when I say nursery workers, those that's in the nursery know that there's a lot of different jobs that go about being in the nursery workers. And Kid Possible, the same thing. Adventureland, same thing. Modified Youth, same thing. Sunday school teachers, Girls of Grace, Royal Rangers, Live Out Loud, the drama, the ushers, the greeters, the info desk, the first impression team, security, singles director, maintenance men, janitors, volunteer maintenance men, volunteer landscaper, groundskeeper, office personnel, funeral dinner coordinator, Good Samaritan deliveries, Angel Tree, funeral dinner volunteers, CD ministry, Orchardville camp, valet parking, sound, lights, video, computers, praise team, production manager, deacons, finance team, church administrator, treasurer, music director, special singers, flower and the card director, altar ministry, small group coordinator, kitchen coordinator, parking attendant, inside out missions, soda machine volunteer, mission trip coordinator, candy machine volunteer, visual arts director, rapid response team, modified youth praise team, Oasis volunteers, and Harlan and Ozos that make all the coffee. How many gallons of coffee do we make here every Sunday? How many was it? I don't know. Somebody was told and I forgot. So, Eleazar. And I don't have the time to go into the whole story, but he goes and he finds Rebecca. And he asks her a certain question. And immediately she responds to that question. And Eleazar is like, this is the one. This is her. This is the one. And he asked her some questions, and she said, yes, I am willing to go and meet this man that I will marry. And the whole story of that, with all the 10 camels and all the water that it would have took and the time it would have took and effort that it would have took for her to have all them camels to be able to drink, is an astounding story in itself, but that's not the story for today. Now, there were men that were with Eleazar to go and help find this wife. If you would ask any one of them, what's your main job? They would have said, we're here to help find a wife for Isaac. See, I don't care what you are in life, what you're doing in life. If as a saved person, your job is to help someone find Jesus in their life. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker, it don't matter. Whoever you are, wherever you are in life, it is our job, responsibility, duty, privilege, obligation, however you want to look at it. It's our responsibility to try to win someone to Jesus Christ. And that heavenly servant, the Holy Spirit, much like the eldest servant, Eleazar, goes out and he is looking for people to be a bride of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say, for instance, let's say, where's Miles? Is Miles here? Where's Miles? There's Miles. Miles, come up here, for instance, here, or help me. George, come up here. What if George sent Miles to the grocery store?
He'd need money.
You need money, yeah. He sends him to the grocery store, and he's got to get milk and bread. All right? And George said, now, son, while you're gone, at least act right and, you know, represent the Thomason name and all of that. So he goes to the grocery store. He's there at the grocery store, and he is thinking, well, you know, yeah, I've got to represent Dad right. And he's got overwhelming love for everybody. He's helping everybody out. He's doing good deeds for them. He's helping them. He's just any way that he can. He comes back, and George says, son, did you get the bread and milk? No, but I loved everybody. He just had all kind of peace in his heart, and he was just laying peace on the people. He broke up three fights as a peacemaker, and he's doing all these things, and he comes back, and George said, son,
did you get the milk and bread?
And he says, no, but I had peace, man. Or you could go right on down the list. I was long-suffering. I was gentle. Did you get the milk and bread? He was sent there to get the milk and bread. Thanks, guys. Just like Eleazar and his team was sent into the far country to get a wife for Isaac. They could have been the happiest team going. They could have been, I helped every caravan along the way. They could have done all of these niceties and came back empty-handed. Yeah, but Abraham, we were really nice, and we was really polite, and we was really courteous, and we was really this, and we was really that. But no, we didn't bring back the wife. The main job, the main focus, church, is for us to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Yes, love is good, and if you're going to catch more flies with honey than you are vinegar, you ought to have the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life and operating in your life. But if you never win anybody to Jesus, you're doing it wrong. Oh no, I've always figured that was up to the preacher. That's not right. Jesus didn't say the preacher go out there and win them. He said, everybody go out and win them. That's why when I preach to everybody like you, a preacher. Your job is to go out there and win someone. Every Christian is a missionary. Every lost person is a mission field. And we are to go out there and try to win them to Jesus. Now, in Genesis 24, verse 22, there were gifts that Eleazar had. He gave Rebecca earrings. He gave her a bracelet. They were all made out of gold. What kind of day would that have been, women? Come on now. It ain't stuff to turn your skin green. This was the real deal here. Now I want you to listen to this. The earrings. He gave out gifts. The earrings, to me, is much like the hearing gifts, the word of prophecy, a message in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, the bracelet, the hand, the doing gifts, much like faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of healings. And then they were gold, the knowing gifts, the God-like quality here of knowing things, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. All of these was given to help get the bride. I'm convinced the reason why God gave the gifts to the church is to help win the bride. It's to motivate us and get us built up so we can go out there and win the bride. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have the gifts. 1 Corinthians 13, they're the fruit. And in 1 Corinthians 14 are the gifts. They all work together to be able to win the bride. And the better soul winner you are, the more love, gentleness, meekness, temperance you're going to have. Well, I wish you'd get saved. Can't stand you, but you need to be. You ain't going to win nobody. Ain't going to win nobody. Ain't going to win nobody. All right, I got to cut some of this out. When I go visit my brother, and he's in a prison, and when I go visit him, they put a seal upon me. And you can't see it. You could look all day and you couldn't see it. And then they take me from that room and you go through another room. They open the door and you walk in there. And then there's two guys standing behind this glass. And there's a little light that's there and a place for you to put your hand. He goes, put your hand in there. There it is. Take it right back out. You can't see it. Can't see it. I go into the room. We have the visit. Nobody in that room can see that. I can't see it. But it's there. The moment a person gets born again, the seal of the Holy Spirit is put on you. Can't see it. You could walk into a room, nobody would know that, but it's there. And the light of eternity one day will reveal that's there, and you're one of His. I want that to happen to everybody that I know. I don't want to, how many's ever went to a swanky, fancy restaurant where you had to call in ahead of time to get, not like Racks or McDonald's, but where you had to call in ahead of time to get reservations and all that. And they're looking for your name on that book. Boy, that's always a weird feeling for me. It's like, oh, hope Kay didn't mess up here. And there's your name, Mark Shell, and you can come on in. One of these days we'll stand before Him. I want that name to be there. I want that seal and mark of the Holy Spirit to be upon us. And there's people that I know, that I care for, that right now, that seal of the Holy Spirit is not on their life. And I want that to happen. Church, that ought to consume us and eat us up, that we want to see somebody born again. Man, I look back in my life, there were people in my life that wanted to see me born again. I want to have that same kind of zeal and drive. I want everybody I know, that light of eternity, come on in. Come on in. That book of eternity, your name is there. Come on in. Praise God for that. We believe the Great Commission. So vital. So vital for church to get a hold of that. Yes. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, I'm praying and asking God for your Holy Spirit to speak to every heart that's here this morning. And Lord, if there are people here that's unsaved, God, you're going to knock upon their heart. And they're going to know that they need to be born again. In Jesus' name, help them to respond. The eldest servant, what was his name? Anybody? Eleazar. Not Eliezer. Because I always pronounced it that way until I got to Israel. And guess who our tour guide, what his name was? Hello, I am Eleazar. And he was our tour guide. And on about the third day, here was the words that he said. We are at Bethlehem, and we're going to see the place where Jesus was born. And Eleazar says, I want to show you someplace very special. I've never forgot that. Because as a pastor, as a preacher, as a Christian, as somebody that's part of this church, I want to show people someone very special. And that's the Lord Jesus. That's my job. That's my task. That's what I've been commissioned to do, is to show you someone very special. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for the want to that He can put in our heart to win someone else. The Great Commission. Awesome. Nothing greater on the planet. Microsoft is not greater. General Motors is not greater. GE is not greater. Nothing greater than the Great Commission, winning someone to Jesus. Let's all stand. Come on, as they sing, if you have a need, we want you to come forward. Those that's going to be water baptized, I want you to get ready right now. They're going to sing a song that, you guys ready to sing that? They're going to sing a song. I want you to really let this song get within you. I'll tell you what we're going to do. It's not a Catholic church, but I want you to sit back down. While they sing this, I want you to really, 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 really consider the words to this song. When I heard this a few weeks back, I thought, man, that goes so well with the Great Commission. Hear this song, let it get within you, and then I want you to respond. Come on, let's sing.
Voices in the wilderness. the whole world hears.
With your presence falling down.
rushing river draws nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with you. And captivate us, Lord Jesus, with you.
Prayer that you have been blessed as you've listened to this message. If you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please contact us here at Orchardville Church. You can visit our website at orchardvillechurch.com, or you can contact us by phone at area code 618-835-2677.